Well, turning now to a terrifying editorial headline in the Washington Post that caught our eye this week. Too many children are killed for insurance money. It went on to detail cases in which policies were taken out on a 15-month-old by his father, a 10-year-old by adoptive parents, who then killed the children for huge insurance payouts. How can this be? How can a life insurance policy become, as the Post put it, a murder weapon? The editorial grew out of a letter Dennis Jay wrote to the paper about the problem. He's executive director of the Coalition Against Insurance Fraud. He joins us. And Dennis, people have heard of adults taking out policies on spouses and then murdering them. It is chilling. But children, tell us about the 15-month-old killed by his father.
This was in Virginia, and the 15-month-old, his name was Prince Rams. And he basically lived with his mother, but the father would come and pick him up and take him for a day. And unbeknownst to the mother, the father took out three life insurance policies that equaled more than $500,000 and then subsequently killed young Prince. Mm-hmm. You know, this is one of the most horrific aspects of insurance fraud, and it's sad because it's preventable.
Well, you in your letter to the Post documented so many cases, which was astonishing, but because states have regulations, what's going wrong here? Why are people able to buy policies for infants when obviously nobody's going to pay on a life insurance policy for a life that should last 80 years? So what's the disconnect here?
Well, there are some states where you cannot buy a huge dollar amount of life insurance on kids. And we're trying to generate some awareness among consumers, among state legislators and insurance regulators, that there's things we all can do to help prevent this. And one of the big things is for the state to have regulations and laws that encourage insurance companies to adopt policies that just do not allow such things to happen.
For instance, New York sets maximum life insurance limits for juveniles. Washington State changed some of its regulations after, you know, two terrible stories there. A 10-year-old who'd been adopted by a couple who purchased a $650,000 policy on him, and he was then killed. A 3-year-old drowned by her stepfather. He had a $200,000 policy. You know, what did Washington do? And what else can you do? I mean, should insurers, when they sell policies, be looking at the financial situation of the people buying the policy? Should there be red flags there?
Absolutely. There has to be an insurable interest, which means if you take a life insurance policy out on a kid, if something happens to that kid, you have a financial loss. And that does happen in some cases where, you know, maybe it's a child prodigy or a child actor or a budding rock star, or, you know, the child just has inherited a lot of money or whatever. But in most cases, people should not be taking out high dollar, you know, $50,000, $100,000, $250,000 on a child, because there just isn't that loss there. So that's one thing insurance companies should be taking a look at. They should also be taking a look at things like, is there a signature of both parents on the insurance application before the insurance is put into force? Is there life insurance on other people in the family? You know, in many of these cases, afterwards, we found that the fathers or mothers or legal guardians didn't even have insurance on themselves, yet they were taking it out on a kid.
Or in one case, there was a trail of other policies that had been taken out on other people who had mysteriously died. So things like this, and you know, I mentioned the financial thing. If somebody is in financial distress, that might be a red flag too, if they're trying to take a policy out on a child. Isn't one problem, though, that some policies can now be bought online?
That's increasingly a problem where you're not actually meeting the person who's applying for insurance, or it's maybe a little bit harder to verify their identity or their relationship to the person that they're insuring. Sure. But still, we have to do whatever we can do to prevent this type of crime. And we'd like to see insurance companies doing more.
Dennis Jay, executive director of the Coalition Against Insurance Fraud. You can read his letter to the editor and the Washington Post's chilling subsequent editorial at hereandnow.org. Dennis, thank you.
You're welcome.